We've been trying to address the problem of how HIV is transmitted and to develop ways of intervening in order to block the infection of the immune system, specifically cells in the immune system that are called T cells. They have receptors on the surface which binds to HIV, and HIV then enters into the cell, reproduces itself, and then it produces a new virus which then infects an adjacent cell. And our objective was to see if we could find a way to intervene, to see if we could block this.
What's the problem with the T cells getting infected by the virus? Are they destroyed in the process?
Yes, the T cells break up, they are killed. So the key thing about T cells is that they need to be able to recognize foreign pathogens, bacteria, viruses, to then mount a response that allows them to get rid of the infectious agent, such as the common cold. HIV will kill them off, and so this then prevents the immune system from reacting properly to foreign pathogens and mounting a kind of defensive response.
So what are the unknowns about how the virus spreads? What were you actually trying to unlock with your study?
Well, the virus spreads, and when it moves from cell to cell, there are different processes involved. And what we were trying to do is we were trying to develop a way of intervening. And to do this, we discovered a protein called an adaptor protein, ADAP, A-D-A-P, which is important in the normal function of T cells. And we had noted that it had effects on the ability of a T cell to bind to another T cell or to what we call an antigen-presenting cell, a dendritic cell. And when this process occurs, this allows then again the T cell to mount a response. What we discovered was that there is, if we make a mutant that prevents this molecule from binding to another molecule in T cells as part of a larger complex, that this actually prevents HIV from progressing. It blocks the replication of HIV, but in addition, it blocks the ability of a T cell to bind to the adjacent T cell and to form a interface that allows the virus to be transmitted from one cell to another.
So viruses get out of a cell that's got them in into another uninfected cell by getting two cells to snuggle up next to each other and literally allow virus to pass between the two without ever having to get into the outside world.
Yes, so this has been a very kind of interesting area. The virus, yes, it can be produced in a soluble form and bind to another cell, but it appears that it really is transmitted most efficiently, you know, thousandfold more efficiently from one T cell to another T cell, or in some cases a T cell to a dendritic cell.
So what are the implications of what you've found?
Well, the implications are we could exploit this as an alternate way of treating patients who are HIV infected. Present treatments for HIV are excellent. There have been huge advances made, but these drugs need to be used throughout the lifetime of an HIV infected patient. And in some cases, patients who have resistance to drugs, they do not respond to this therapy. So potentially, we should be able to use this mutant to express it in cells and allow these cells, if put back into a patient, to become relatively resistant to the virus while, very importantly, at the same time, being able to respond to foreign pathogens, bacteria, and also, at the same time, to fight off the virus itself, the HIV virus.
How would you make these altered cells?
Well, this would be done by extracting cells and then expressing the mutant in these cells and then putting these cells back in the patient. And that would then lead to the expansion of T cells in the patient that, again, would become relatively resistant to viral infection, but still, importantly, be able to respond to foreign pathogens.
And how far are we away from being able to do that?
Well, the technology is available, and I don't foresee great problems.
And what about the prospect of the virus mutating in some way to surmount this effect?
Well, the hallmark of HIV is that HIV lacks proofreading enzymes that, when it replicates, otherwise would correct mistakes. And this is the way in which the virus sort of creates diversity, so-called superior mutations.
Because it changes its genetic material by making so many mistakes.
That's right, yeah. So it's actually missing what in normal cells is such an important mechanism to prevent, for example, the production of cancer cells. In the case of the virus, it actually takes advantage of the fact that it's lost this proofreading mechanism in order to generate more diversity.